Hello there, gorgeous souls, and welcome back to the Success Revolution podcast. I am your host, Gemma Bernad, and I am excited for today's episode, which is episode 204. Yes, we're here for episode 204, and today we're going all into your decision-making styles, and particularly how your decision-making style affects your business results, the outcomes that you have. And I wanted you to know that if you are someone who experiences amongst the more than 30,000 decisions you have to make every single day, if you're someone who goes back and forth between this or that decision, if you experience decision doubt, decision fatigue, maybe you're a yes decision maker, right? Oh, your decisions are just not giving you the results that you intended them to, then I want you to know I've got you for this episode, because today I'm going to break down the four core decision-making patterns. And these are patterns that I have come up with and seen after working with hundreds of women. And also, I want you to know I've experienced all of these decision-making patterns myself, particularly over the last 15 years as I've been in business. So I want to break it all down for you today, and I really want to help you to become an intuitive and intentional decision maker who makes aligned and expansive decisions in your business. So if that's you, then let's dive into today's episode.
Welcome to the Success Revolution podcast with Gemma Bernad.
I haven't always believed this. I'm going to tell you a story in a moment. But what I have come to know to be so very true in business is that the single greatest determining factor of our sustainable success, okay, success that we get to grow into and expand on, and that is built on longevity, not just quick wins, overnight successes, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, type of success. It is really down to one thing, and it's the quality of the decisions that we make. And our decision-making styles have a direct effect on the quality of the decisions that we make. And those decisions are so important because they are what cause and have a direct effect on our business, on the results, short-term results, as well as long-term sustainable business expansion. Now, I'm going to tell you, as I said, I openly admit I have dabbled in every single one of these. And I, up until, you know, fairly recent, in the last couple of years, I did have one very dominant decision-making style, which I'm going to share with you and go into today. Okay. And I'm going to talk about that. But let me tell you, I want to tell you the moment that it really landed for me how important decision-making was. And that was when I was working with a mentor back in, I think it was the end of 2019, when we actually had this conversation. And we were talking and we were just kind of going back and forth. Well, more to the point, I was probably going back and forth. I don't think she was necessarily going back and forth. And she just said one statement to me. And she really just said in that moment that if you want to be at the level of success I know you desire, then it is really important that you become a decisive decision maker. And in that moment, it was one of those insightful kind of epiphany moments, not because I hadn't heard that before, but because I was really open and ready to hear it and take what was knowledge and turn it into practice and knowingness. Now, it took me some time to really go deeper on that and understand what it takes to be a decisive decision maker, because I did have a dominant decision making pattern. And so I interpreted that message as, right, well, you know, you've got to go all in, you've got to just be F yes, let's go, make quick decisions. And whilst there is some truth to that and benefit to that, it needs to be balanced out. And I'm going to talk to you about that today. I've had to just move my desk up and down. If you're watching this on video, then you'll notice the video is going up and down, but I've got a stand-up desk here and I'm accidentally knocked the button. So I want to go into all of these decision-making styles, and I want to share with you the characteristics of these different decision-making styles so that you really understand what are some of the signs of these particular patterns. I want to share with you what I have come to conclude are some of the very core beliefs, some of the very core subconscious beliefs that drive this particular decision-making style. I'm going to take it a little bit deeper with you today as well, because I do a lot of very deep energetic and healing work. I'm actually going to share with you what I have witnessed and seen to be the root cause of this pattern too. I want to go right down into the depths with you and just take you there today. And then I'm going to talk to you about what the outcome patterns of this decision-making style are. And I really want to just ask you to just take this information in and to just notice for you what patterns, what characteristics, what traits you really resonate with. And as I said in my introduction as well, I have dabbled in all of these. So you may find that there are times where you dabble in one particular decision-making style, and then there are times when you find yourself in another. But what you will find is that there's going to be one that is more of a dominant style, and that's the one that needs to be addressed first and potentially done some work around as well. Okay. So let's go into this. Now, let me tell you what the four decision-making styles are, and then I'm going to go into each of them separately and share a little bit of my own personal experience as well with this. Because I want you to know that I really get this, not just from an ability to look and see these patterns playing out in other people, but actually having lived all of them myself. So I know what it's like to run a business, you know, in particular decision-making styles at different times as well. So the first decision-making style is the bold, risk-taking decision maker. Then the second decision-making style is the cautious decision maker. Then we have the roller coaster decision maker. And then the final one that we have is the intuitive and the intentional decision maker. And as I said, I'm going to go through, I'm going to share each of the different characteristics. I'm going to share the beliefs that sit underneath it, the root cause, what I think is the root cause, what I, in all the healing, and I've done hundreds upon hundreds and hundreds of hours of deep subconscious healing with people. So I see these patterns and how they operate at a real root subconscious nervous system level as well. And then I'm going to share with you what the outcome is also for that particular decision-making style. Okay, so let's dive in to the very first one, which is, as I said, the bold risk-taking decision maker. This, I am going to tell you, was absolutely my dominant decision-making pattern for a very long period of time. This is the one that I lived in. And when I relayed that story to you, when I told you about when I was working with my mentor and she said, you know, in order to be this, at the level of success that you really desire, Gemma, it's going to be really important that you become a decisive decision maker. And I was like, okay, cool. Well, that means that I need to go into and make more high risk, bold decision making or decisions, because that was my dominant pattern. So here are the characteristics that I really have, I noticed myself, and I'm going to tell you that I have also been able to identify these through a lot of people that I have had the privilege of working with, supporting, mentoring at different levels. And I also see this pattern play out a lot in the online space too, okay? So this particular decision maker thrives off the adrenaline of high risk decisions. They will have the pattern of overextending themselves in their decisions too. And that overextension can either be emotionally, in terms of, you know, they get really excited, because these are the real excited decision makers. They're really excited. They're at that kind of high octane level. And sometimes they can overcommit themselves emotionally, and they're not able to sustain that level of energy in their nervous system. So they can overextend themselves emotionally or physically even. And a lot of times they will overextend themselves financially too. So these are people that will, a lot of the time, spend more money on investments, on things that they're buying, anything, any type of purchase. It doesn't just have to be, you know, in the space that I'm in, the coaching industry, but they will overextend themselves financially. These people generally can be quite impulsive in their decisions as well. These will be those people that are like the, you know, the F yeah, the fuck yeah decision, like, yes, I'm all in, let's go. Because these people generally let their emotions dictate their decision makers. I'm going to tell you as well, these people are a marketer's delight. And I say that with respect to marketers as well. Those that are in integrity will know how to market and sell with deep authenticity and integrity, and know how to use persuasion techniques in a way that are of, you know, the highest ethical standards. But there, you know, are a lot of people out there, and they will really sell to you. A lot of very big brands will sell to you using emotions. And the interesting thing is, we're not designed to make decisions in high or low emotional states. But these are people that will let their emotions dictate. And those emotions will generally be excitement or fear, like very high energy states. These are also people that generally love the thrill of the chase. And I'm going to tell you, more so than the win a lot of the time. And what that will generally show up as is someone who will usually bypass celebrating progress, milestones, and success. They just generally move on quickly to the next goal, the next thing that we've got to acquire or achieve or hit. It's not to say that they won't necessarily celebrate, but a lot of the time it will be superficial celebration is what I call it, where it's very surface level. It's the balloons, it's the popping of the champagne, it's all of those things, but there's not this very grounded acknowledgement. And there's also what's missing is a very grounded calibration period too. They're very quick to move on to the next decision, the next goal. And that is because these people are generally quite impatient by nature too. Hands up if that's you. That was absolutely me. That was me to a T, up until a couple of years ago. Okay. And I've had a tendency of flipping into that pattern over the last couple of years, but now I know my decision-making style is very different now, and I know how to balance that out in a very healthy way. So the beliefs that the bold risk-taking decision-maker will have generally are, I have to be all in. I'm either all in or I'm all out. These people play well in extremes, okay? So I've got to be all in. That's what commitment looks like. I am all in with everything that I've got and even things that I don't have. And that can show up emotionally, physically, or financially. These are all people that believe as well. This is the emotional part. If it's not a fuck yes decision, then it's not aligned. It's not meant to be. It's not meant to be. It's got to be like, F yes, this is definitely for me. And the other one that sits underneath, the belief that really sits underneath this one, is I'm not good enough. And that belief of I'm not good enough actually fuels their need to continue to achieve more and more results, acquire more and more achievements. And that's a very important belief that sits underneath the bold risk-taking decision maker. Now, the root cause of this one is because generally these people will appear very outwardly confident, very outwardly confident. But that outward confidence usually masks quite strong internal control patterns. So these people are people that are trying to control their external reality. And that's generally linked to childhood patterns of emotional and or physical instability. And sometimes we can also call these chaos patterns too. So people that have experienced quite a lot of emotional or physical instability in their childhood can very easily find themselves as very bold risk-taking decision makers. Now, the problem with this particular decision-making style is that the first challenge to the bold risk taker is that this is going to appear healthy. They're going to think this is completely healthy. And one of the reasons that that is the case is that that is really what is promoted online in a very big way. So I'm going to keep this into the online social media space, particularly in the coaching space. We reward, we acknowledge, we revere people who are like, fuck yes, I'm all in. This is the type of people I want in my programs. These are the type of people that succeed, which is a very unhealthy way of really perpetuating this cycle. And the other thing that will cause the the bold risk-taking decision maker to think this is healthy is that, honestly, their decisions will lead to quick results a lot of the time. And this is something that this is a huge part of the reason that I didn't see this as a problem at all. I was like, well, there's results coming in. Like, what's the problem with this? The problem with this is it's unsustainable. This decision-making style is unsustainable to stay in for prolonged periods of time. It absolutely leads to decision burnout because, as I said to you, look, those 30,000 decisions that you make every single day, a lot of them are done on automation, okay? So, you know, breathing, blinking your eyes, moving your hand, a lot of them are very automated, but some of them have to be very conscious as well. So we're making a lot of decisions. And if you are constantly in this high energy fear and excitement state, whilst it feels great in the moment, it's a big crash when we come back down and it creates a lot of decision burnout. It also creates unnecessary income inconsistency as well, because if you're not making these big, bold decisions and your income drops down because it's just very short-term focused. These people are generally very short-term focused in their decisions. It's like, what's going to lead me to the quickest result right now? In fact, yesterday would be best. So it generally leads to a lot of income inconsistency. And again, another reason why people with this decision-making style won't see that as problematic, until you listen to this podcast, of course, is because people talk all the time about how business is inconsistent. Income's inconsistent. It's just the ups and downs of business. That's just how it is. Okay? Like, that's just what we've got to accept. And whilst there is a level of income inconsistency, these people will have quite high highs, quite low lows, quite high highs. So the inconsistency, the difference between the highs and the lows is quite significant. And what that leads to as well is generally low to negative profit margins in their business because they're overextending themselves. So they might be making a lot of money, but they're also spending a lot of money. So there is, as I said, this really is one that is unsustainable to be in. I'm going to show you there really is a much more balanced approach to making decisions, okay? These people generally just do not have the nervous system to back up this type of prolonged decision-making style, all right? So that is the bold risk-taking decision maker. The next one, we're going to completely now pivot into another direction. We're going to talk about the cautious decision maker now. And the cautious decision maker, these are people who exhibit deliberate and methodical decision making. Okay, they'll have a process, a very stringent process that they will be very, very rigid in adhering to as well. They really won't be very comfortable deviating away from that. Very intellectually focused. You know, these people have an over-reliance on detailed information. So these are people, if you start to identify this one, you are the, can I please have more information? Can I please have more information? I need more information. You will find a lot of safety for you in more and more information because it's going to give you, or it will allay any feelings of uncertainty because these people generally don't feel very comfortable experiencing, you know, high or even low emotional states. They have a low risk appetite, and this will lead to very safe decision-making decisions being made, really not wanting to stretch out of what is familiar and what is comfortable. These are also people that can at times delay and or defer their decision-making to authority figures in their business or life, partners, parents, mentors, random people online, okay? At the extreme, it can just be like, hey, I'm trying to make a decision. Can you help me with this? These are people that really do have perfectionist tendencies, and those will show up in really feeling strong pressure to make the right decision and avoid mistakes, and that is generally because they don't want to experience uncomfortable emotions, okay? So that's the cautious decision maker, very methodical, very logical, very information focused. And that information focus will often lead to analysis paralysis. I mean, I'm feeling this in my head right now. These are people that are very up in their head, very overthinking, find it hard to quiet their mind, constantly analyzing the pros and cons. And it really is the core of this coming down to, I have to make the right decision. I cannot get this wrong. I can't get this wrong at all. So they will really make very safe decisions in their business. And the beliefs for the cautious decision maker is, I have to be perfect. I have to be perfect otherwise, and this is going quite deep, okay, but this is what it really is at the core. I have to be perfect otherwise I won't be loved. I won't be accepted, or I won't be good enough. So that's a very core belief that the cautious decision maker will hold. Another belief that the cautious decision maker hold is, it's not safe for me to make mistakes. I'll get in trouble. I'm going to get in trouble if I make a mistake here, if I fail, if I get this wrong. So it's just simply for them, their system, their mind, their nervous system just says it is not safe for us to go there. And so they will be, they're people that have what we call very quite rigid nervous systems. They're not very flexible. They just want to stay in a very calm, everything's fine state. As I said, and another belief for the cautious decision maker is, I have to make the right decision. Otherwise, something bad will happen. As I said, I'll get in trouble. I won't be loved. I'll be rejected. I won't sell. I mean, that's at a deeper level. If I don't make the right decision, you know, if we're going into a launch and we're looking at what is, you know, what's the launch strategy you want? I've got to make this decision. I've got to get the right launch strategy. I've got to use the right launch engine. I've got to do the right webinar, the right title, the right catch line, the right content to share, the right timing on this, the right trends. It's all got to be right. It's got to be perfect. Because if I don't get it right, then my launch might fail. I might not hit the results that I want. People might not want to buy this offer. They might be confused. In their mind, something bad will happen. And there's uncomfortable emotions that come with something bad is going to happen, and I can't handle experiencing that. That's what's really going on for the cautious decision maker. And I'm, as a recovering, bold, risk-taking decision maker, I flipped into cautious decision maker for a while there too. And this is completely a judgment-free zone too as well. I do find, particularly for, you know, again, as I said to you, as being a bold risk-taking decision maker for so long, and chaos was like, you know, emotional instability and chaos was certainly something that I experienced and something I've had to really do a lot of healing work around, is that it's, you know, very common to really have to put the brakes on, to kind of go and experiment and go and find, it's like the extreme, I've got to move to the other extreme, because we're so used to extremes in our environment, our internal environment, sometimes in our external environment growing up a lot of the time too, that sometimes we can find ourselves in this cautious decision-making pattern going to the other extreme. But I don't, when I notice this happening with clients of mine that have been or that are coming out of being bold, risk-taking decision-makers, it's never about making that wrong. I sometimes encourage you to go and try what it's like to be a cautious decision maker, because this is how we start to create harmony. So at the root cause, the cautious decision maker, that cautiousness often masks, again, strong emotional control patterns. But what they're trying to do is control their emotional experience, because these people really are not comfortable experiencing much emotion. Particularly, I generally will say, I think this is too general, but a lot of the time I see this in emotional lows, but these are also people that can find it quite hard to really tap into even the energy of excitement and real joy and happiness. These are people that generally are just very, like, it's will appear as level, but in some respects, there's actually a numbness that's there. Emotionally, they're just like, I just don't want to feel disappointed. And that, what that does is when we restrict, because emotions work on a scale. So when we restrict ourselves going to one end, we often restrict ourselves going to the other end too. Now, the problem with this decision-making pattern, again, this is another one that to the cautious decision-maker will absolutely appear healthy, okay? Because they're like, it's logical, it's methodical, I've got a process, it's information. It's all good. I need all the information. However, this is not conducive to sustainable business growth either. And one of the ways this will show up is because it often leads to very frequent income stagnation, where you just stay stuck at an income level and you're just coasting along there. Just, you know, it's like, it's almost like you've got a job. You're just getting paid the same amount of money every single month. You're just making the same amount. For some of you, you might be like, totally, I'm fine with that. And as I said, I'm not here to make any of these decision-making patterns wrong. I'm here to show you the outcomes of these. You might be like, I just want, that's what I want. I just want consistent, same money every month. But if you are in my world, we're here for unrealistic business growth. This pattern is not conducive to unrealistic business growth. It leads to, as I said, frequent periods of income stagnation. And to be honest with you, people in this particular pattern may not realize until, you know, 2, 3, 4 years down the track, when they look at their profit margins, compare it to inflation, and realize that even on paper, it's like, okay, well, my business is profitable, but inflation's eaten it all up. So they're actually negatively growing when we correlate it to inflation. Or it's just zero. It's just so tiny. So that's the cautious decision maker. Now let's move on to the third one. The third one is the roller coaster decision maker. As I said to you, I've been all of them. I've been all of them. I've been this one too. Now the roller coaster decision maker actually has periods of both the bold risk-taking decision maker and the cautious decision maker. These are people that flip between both of these decision-making styles. Now, they will flip between both of these decision-making styles sometimes in the context of making one decision. So these are people that will really experience overwhelm in the decision-making process for one decision. Okay, I'm just using launching like a new income stream, for example. They will, in the process of, you know, okay, this is the income stream that we want to launch, they will flip between, okay, let's go, we're going to go all in, let's do it, and very bold, you know, high-risk strategies, and then they'll pull back in that. It's, no, we can't do that. Let's go into something more cautious. No, we've got to be careful, you know. So in the one decision, they can go back and forth. Or how this might show up is what happens is that they make one decision that is in the energy of very high risk, bold decision-making pattern. And then the next decision they make is very cautious. And so they have to counterbalance. And that's, again, because they cannot sustain that high energy, that high fear, high excitement energy that the bold risk-taking decision-maker is really in. And they've got to counterbalance it with some cautiousness. But this really just causes overwhelm. It's just back and forth. They're experiencing the pressure to make quick, impulsive decisions. And then again, as I said, either in the one decision, like let's launch this income stream, they're going to be plagued by doubt, questioning back and forth. Is this right? Is this right? I don't know. Or as I said, they're going to make high pressure decisions, make that decision, and then they're going to go into the next decision and be very cautious, very doubtful, lots of information. So these are people that experience indecision, decision fatigue, decision confusion sits here as well. This really is when you think about overwhelm in general, like overwhelm, decision overwhelm is very tiring. It's like you're so torn between let's go high emotion and the mind that's very logical. And so you're just going back and forth this one. Now, the beliefs with this one, what I find for these people is that they will have beliefs that generally have questions with them too. And that belief will look like this. I have to be all in to be committed, but what if I get it wrong? Can you see how it's like the high energy, bold statement followed by the question, which is the cautiousness? Then the next belief is I'm not good enough, but I have to be perfect. I have to be perfect, but I'm not good enough. Again, these contradicting belief systems. And this can absolutely cause depending on what your dominant nervous system style is, this can cause people to just freeze. Like overwhelm just can cause people to freeze. For some people, it causes people to be like foot on the accelerator, foot on the brake, foot on the accelerator, foot on the brake. And sometimes for some people, it's foot on the accelerator and the brake at the same time, which is actually when a car, if you think about it in a car, it's when a car actually doesn't burn out, it doesn't go anywhere, it's just spinning its wheels. So I've got lots of contradicting beliefs going on here. Another belief is I have to make only aligned decisions. But what's an aligned decision for me? There's lots of confusion in this one. Now, the root cause for this one, these are people who've usually experienced a mix, okay, of an emotionally and or physically unstable environment in their childhood and also a very cautious and overprotective environment too. And it really varies. That it's really going to vary. But, for example, this could be a lot of people might find, if you relate to this one, just from parenting styles, you may have had one parent who was like, yeah, let's go, let's adventurous, let's do all of this, let's go and try this out, and like, you know, more risk, high risk take, and then another parent who's like helicopter parent. Oh, don't do that, don't climb the tree, what if you won't fall? And it's this confusion that the child experiences between what, you know, say, you know, mum's the super adventurous one and mum's like climbing the trees and throwing a swing from branch to branch and dad's on the ground going, oh, watch out, don't fall, God. You know, it's very confusing for that child. It's like, oh, I want to climb the tree, but I don't want to fall. Okay, you can see how that shows up in the belief and then the pattern, that roller coaster decision-making style. Now, the outcome with this one, the two previous patterns for a lot of the people that are in those decision-making styles, they will be like, these are healthy, what's wrong with these patterns? However, for the roller coaster decision maker, they will generally feel like this is not healthy. This doesn't feel good. Something that really feels good about this. I'm overwhelmed. I'm like indecision overwhelmed. So they'll feel it. These people will generally be more attuned to the fact that they're in the roller coaster decision making and they're indecision overwhelmed. Okay. They feel tired in the body, tired in the head from just the constant back and forth between the adventurous part. It's like, let's go, let's do this, let's be bold, let's take the risk, let's overextend ourselves. And oh my God, I can't do that. Okay, so it will be quite exhausting for them. And so it's very easy to see that this style of decision-making just doesn't support, you know, any sort of sustainable business growth. As I said, like if you think about, in this instance, like the nervous system, like, you know, like a car and you've got one foot on the accelerator, which is that high octane, you know, risk-taking, bold decision. It's like one foot on the accelerator and you've got one foot on the brake. You can't drive a car like that. Even if you're going back, forth, I think about driving, you know, going on a holiday, okay, your partner's driving the car and you're on the freeway and it's 100 kilometers an hour and your partner's going foot to the floor, 150, boom, brakes on, back down to 70, back onto the accelerator. It's like, what a ride that is. You're exhausted by the time you get there. Or on the flip side, if your partner's got one foot on the accelerator and one foot on the brake, I mean, you're on the freeway, you're not going anywhere because the car is literally doing a burnout. I mean, the car is stationary and the wheels are spinning. And that's exactly what this is like. So it's not going to support sustainable business growth. And this, depending, as I said, if you are someone that has a foot on the accelerator and a foot on the brake at the same time, then your business probably isn't going very far. But if you are one foot on the accelerator, one foot on the brake, and you're going back and forth, these are people that will often experience very big inconsistency, like high income months, which is generally correlated with more high octane, big, bold risk-taking decisions, and it'll be followed by very sharp income drops, very frequent plateaus because these people dip down into that cautious decision-making style. So I've got to put the brakes on. Ooh, I've got to take a break here. I've got to get the energy back up to get back into that high energy, high risk-taking, bold decision-making pattern again. They've got to rebuild their strength to go again. So this one, as I said, there's not going to be much that feels healthy about this one. And you're going to see that in your business results too. As I said, either very inconsistent income, very high highs, low lows, or alternatively, just not really progressing, not going like you're doing the burnout. The business isn't moving, but the wheels are spinning underneath, but not much is happening. Okay, so that's a roller coaster. And I've got one final one, which is the intuitive and intentional decision maker. By the way, roller coaster decision maker, been there, done that. again, it's why I know it, how I just know how exhausting that one is. I was absolutely the one that was, you know, foot to the floor, then on the brake, foot to the floor, then on the brake. And that's really what happened to me back in 2020. I had been foot to the floor, and then I had to put my foot on the brake. Hard. Because that bold, high risk taking decision making style, it's not sustainable to just stay in that decision making pattern. It really isn't. Okay. So the intuitive and intentional decision maker, this, I have found myself to this place, I'm going to tell you. And it feels so different. I made a decision in my business recently to invest in acquiring some new knowledge. And I used an intuitive and intentional decision making style for this. And I don't know how to explain it. It's very experiential. It feels so different. There is a calmness. There is a steadiness to it. And it's not that it's muted or neutral. Like, I feel genuinely really grounded in my excitement about the skills that I'm going to acquire and the potential that this can have in my business. Absolutely. Like, the last two really big decisions in terms of acquisition of skills, which is what I've been focusing on a lot, I've used an intuitive and intentional decision-making pattern. And what's been so interesting with this decision-making pattern, having lived so much, particularly in that bold risk-taking one, is that I'm going to talk about these two courses that I've invested in, is that because I have really used this blend of intuition with information, these decisions feel much more aligned, and I'm so much more focused, and the decisions have been incredible for starters. The skills that I have learned and I'm learning have been amazing. And also, just from a course perspective, like, I'm doing the work. Whereas when I was really in that bold risk-taking one, it's like they were so emotional. I'd make the decision and I'd get into, like, again, just using the concept of investing in a course or a program or something like that. And I'd get in there and I wouldn't follow through and do the work. Because I was in this pattern of, like, quick results, let's go. What's the one thing I can get? Move on, next thing. And then even the same when I was in the cautious pattern, I might have been acquiring the information, but I was so stuck not actually executing on a lot of the work, because you're just in such this dominant, cautious, safe pattern too. Whereas this one, it's like focused energy, seeing things through, getting incredible, beautiful results. And the characteristic of this particular decision-making style is that there really is this beautiful blend of intuition and information. Both of them, you know, we've got right and left hemispheres of the brain. We're designed, we've got the yin and the yang. We're designed to blend. It's not just about intuition, let's go, and there's no logic. And it's not just about all information and logic and method and no intuition. It's this blend of both, where the intuition really is what drives the initial decision, and the information you use to really just, you know, practice some, you know, analytical critical thinking, which is very important decision making, so that you can look at not necessarily the pros and cons, but also, okay, if I make this decision, what are some of the benefits, what are some of the things, like, outcomes I'm going to receive, and just being able to look at it from a very analytical critical place without getting lost in the information. So these are people that are very comfortable making calculated risks. So higher risk, it's not that these people avoid like high risks, but the way that they do it is much more grounded. As I said, intuition leads them, and then there's information that comes in, but intuition really does make the final decision. Yeah, these people weigh up, as to the pros and the cons. These are people that absolutely will at times seek advice. There's nothing wrong with that. I want to be very clear. I think this is something that really I have found a very hard pill to swallow, is when people feel like they're making big decisions in their business. If they're not a fuck yes, I'm all in right in the moment, then it's wrong. They're like, I can't go away and talk about it. But, you know, one of the things that human design teaches us as well, first of all, is, well, number one, we're not designed to make emotional decisions. There's a groundedness to it. And number two, some of us are absolutely meant to go and talk out our decision-making. Not necessarily so someone can tell us what to do, but so they can reflect back what's going on inside of us and we can hear ourselves. There's nothing wrong with seeking advice. There's nothing wrong with consulting with others. And an intuitive and intentional decision maker will do that they will do that. Just, yeah, maybe see, are there any blind spots, maybe things I'm not seeing that I want to consider? I want to put through my intuitive lens. I want to put through my values, my vision, my desires. They won't let others sway their decision, but they will consult. They really use their intuition and their higher consciousness to make the final decision. These are people that are very clear on their long-term vision. They play the long game in business. It's not to say they don't make decisions that are for the short term. They absolutely, like, we make short-term decisions, but they are always done as what I call stepping stone goals. It's like, is this leading me, or do I believe this is leading me in the direction? You know, choose your own adventure sort of path. Is this still leading me in the direction that I want to go? But they're very clear on that long-term vision. They've got a guiding North Star. They know where they're heading, but they also know what they stand for, what their values are. They are very grounded in the present moment whilst also being able to hold a long-term focus. Now, the other part with this one that's really important, this is a really important characteristic of the intuitive and intentional decision maker, is that these people see the return on investment as both tangible and intangible. These are people that don't just invest for the immediate result or even the end result. These are people that will look at it like, okay, is there a result? Am I investing for a specific result? And will this also give me the skill set, the learning, the experience as well? It's not just about the result, which is very much what the other three are about. The bold risk-taking is very achievement-focused. It's all about the result. Give me the result. Give me the result. And the same with the cautious decision-maker. They need the result to feel safe. And then we know the roller coaster decision-maker goes between, oh, I need the achievement and I need to feel safe with the result. Whereas, and I'm talking tangible result, like what we consider, like, I'm investing in this course, I want to make money out of it. I'm investing in this mentor, I want to make money out of it. I'm making a decision, I want there to be an increase in revenue as a result of it. Yes, we can absolutely hold that. It's about having both the feminine and the masculine balance in this, where it's, okay, yes, I'm investing with the intention of receiving a result, but there is an attachment to that. These are also people that self-guarantee their results too. These are people that, because they're acquiring the skills and the knowledge, and they have a sense of resourcefulness in themselves too. So these are people, their beliefs are truly, there's no right or wrong decision. There's outcomes and lessons. And I'm going to analyze what the outcome is, and I'm going to take the lesson from it too, no matter what the outcome is. They also have the belief that whatever happens as a result of this decision, I trust myself. I trust myself. I trust my ability to be able to handle anything that comes because I know that I am resourceful. There is a lot of trust that sits in the intuitive and intentional decision maker. They know how to navigate trust. They know. They're like, their belief is, I've got this. No matter what happens, I've got this. I know I'm okay. Not only do I know I'm okay, but I know I'm going to thrive. Because I'm going to get an outcome either way. It's either an outcome that I intended, and if it's not, I can come in with some critical analytical thinking and review, look at the lessons, and look what needs to be tweaked. There's no extremism going in with this one. Generally, now, with this one, the intuitive intentional decision maker, if this is someone's natural style, this is usually as a result of what we would call a healthy upbringing. And a healthy upbringing would very much look like a household or a home environment or caregivers that provided space for emotions to be processed. These are where parents were really nurtured their children to go and experience life and created a safety net there for them, that if they fell, that they would be there to support them to stand back up again. These are children that would have been raised, in an environment where both emotion and intellect were both acknowledged and accepted as valuable. You know, people that experience shame around emotions will not experience as their natural style, but can sometimes find it very hard. They might find themselves in one of the other three decision-making styles. But or people particularly where it was like they were revered for being, you're so smart, and you know there was pressure on them to do really well, may find themselves in cautious decision-making styles. But intuitive and intentional decision maker will generally have experiences as dominant in their upbringing, where emotion and intellect were both acknowledged, accepted, appreciated. There was space. These will be people that during their childhood particularly had parents who allowed the children to make mistakes, to fail. And that what they did, as I say, is they guided them, but they allowed them to experience also the emotions that came up with that. There was very healthy co-regulation going on. You know, these will generally be parents or caregivers that were quite grounded in themselves. They, you know, were open to sharing their emotions in healthy ways. There was just healthy expression of emotions and ideas and intellect. If this was your, you know, this is someone's natural style, that's generally what's happened. Now, here's the thing, is that if it's not your natural style, and I'm going to tell you, for a lot of people, it's not their natural style. It's not to say it's not for some people, okay? But for a lot of people, this isn't a natural style. This becomes a learned skill, this decision-making style. And that's absolutely been the case for me. It's the case for a lot of my clients too, where this has really been, it's a learned skill. You have to do the work to shift the unconscious beliefs that cause you to be in the decision-making style you've been in, rewire, reprogram, so you start to ground in the beliefs that we've talked about. And this also, a lot of this comes down to having a nervous system that is very flexible. It's able to move through the six different nervous system states, the emotional states, in a very healthy way. They have the ability, they know how to process. They have high emotional intelligence. Because as I said to you, decisions aren't designed to be emotional. We're not supposed to be making high or even low emotional decisions. We want to be grounded in body and our mind supporting. And that's exactly what the intuitive and intentional decision maker is. But I want you to know, if you have gone through this episode and you've kind of ticked the box and you've come up and go, okay, well, maybe I experienced all of them, but my dominant one is the cautious decision maker. But I want to be the intuitive and intentional decision maker. That's how I want to make my decisions. Because for these people, this style of decision making, as I said, it's a healthy mix of intuition and logic, and it does support long-term sustainable income and business growth patterns. And these decision makers, they will prioritize periods of income growth followed by business income calibration periods. They won't just rush into the next one. They let themselves adjust to the expansion of their income. They adjust, they expand. They adjust, they expand. They adjust, they expand. And when you look at the data, these are people that will absolutely have consistent upward trending profit margins over long periods of time. So if you're like, that's what I want. I want to have my business trending upwards over the long time. And what I want is growth periods. Yes, followed by periods where I call it calibrate. You calibrate and you're like, everything adjusts. You look at your business model. You make sure it's able to hold this new level. You look at yourself, and make sure your nervous system's able to hold and handle everything that new income level brings. And you do all of that work in there to be able to, what I say, calibrate. You calibrate your subconscious mind. You calibrate your nervous system. You calibrate your business, your team, all of that. And then you're going, okay, now we're ready for the next period of growth. If that's what you want, then what needs to happen with this is you've got to start to make those shifts within yourself. It's exactly what my body-led success method does. It takes people through the work on the nervous system to heal your nervous system and strengthen it to be able to move into these patterns. My subconscious soulful success system takes you through all of the belief changes to take place to support this new decision making, and also looking at business model too, body-led business model. And when you focus on all of those elements, it becomes much more natural to shift into this. And that's exactly the work that I have done, particularly over the last 2 years. And that's what's helped me move out of my dominant style, being the bold risk-taking decision maker, into now making beautiful, intuitive, and intentional decisions in my business and in my life, an energy that feels very grounded, very aligned, and is delivering some really beautiful results in my business too, in the short term, and also positioning and setting myself up for the long term too. So I know I'm aware I've given a lot of information in this particular episode, and I really hope, you know, the one question I want to ask yourself is, going through and listening to this, and you may just go back and listen to it again, and I encourage you to do so, is to really just go through and kind of think, when I outline the characteristics, what really is your dominant style? Okay, if you're giving yourself some ticks, and it's more ticks in the cautious decision maker or the roller coaster decision maker, awareness is always the first place to go. You can't change what we're not aware of. So just land in that place first and just understand and just start to bring that and notice, you know, when it comes time to make the next decision in your business. You know, it's probably going to happen today. There's going to be a decision you're going to want to make today, whether it's a big decision or a small decision, whatever terms you want to use. And just seeing what pattern you're in and just being aware of it. And I would love to get some feedback from you too, as I continue to refine and work through these decision-making styles, because they will evolve over time. But I would love to hear from you. I'd love to hear from you. So just come over and find me on Instagram. You can DM me at I am Gemma Bernat, and just let me know, what's your dominant decision-making style? Which one did you really associate with? Judgment-free zone. As I said, I've been every single one, so I get it. I absolutely get it. I get what it's like to live this way. I get what it's like to have society tell you you should be a particular style too, that that's healthy. You should be cautious in your decision. No, you should be all in, let's go. And that can be very confusing. But I would love to hear from you. I'd love to get some feedback from you about what your dominant decision-making styles are. And just let me know whether you found this episode helpful. And if you did, I just invite you to share this with someone else, so that you know that's in business, that is making decisions day in, day out, and let them get access to this information so that they can start to really move into making intuitive and intentional decisions that support their long-term, sustainable, profitable business growth. So come on over and find me on Instagram, share that with me, share this episode. If you have any questions, I would love to hear from you. Instagram is the place to find me. I'll link it all up below. But thank you for being here with me for episode 204 of the Success Revolution podcast. I look forward to seeing you for another episode really, really soon. Take care. See you soon. Bye.